Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm not seeing, I'm Sarah.
I may be drunk, it's okay.
I've had too much wine. I mean, yeah. I'm Amy. Yeah. We are three Melbourne girls who've had nothing better to do through our spate of lockdowns other than create this fabulous podcast.
That's great. This fabulous podcast. It's fucking hot. It's not fabulous.
That you witnessed before you. Yeah. They were all living a bit of lockdown. But now we're free. But for many of us, we are choosing to continue to live the beta lockdown. Not because it was fun, but because there's too much fucking COVID around all the places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just coming out of what was a scary moment that could have been COVID was actually a common cold. Still really trying hard not to cough. I'm negative. PCR test, negative. Disgusting. It's like taking a pregnancy test. You're just waiting for those results. Like, oh, fucking, please be negative. I've got life to live. Please don't be positive.
So we take aim at one topic, 567 tangents per week, and a bottle or three of wine, and we try to make some sense of it and each other. Ladies, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking Pepsi again. Oh, I'm so exciting.
Oh, very exotic.
Changing my thing so regularly.
You really need to shake off the shackles of the fun, please, mate. That'll help you.
Yeah. Don't like them. Is there something we can do? Like, is there some sort of intervention between you and medical?
I think
stuff?
We need to run a intervention against the fun police on Sarah's behalf.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just until.
But I think maybe we need some sort of heart starty situation. Do we have the machine that goes bing?
No, we don't.
Actually, I'll get that installed. Yeah, I'll get that installed at my house. Because I am the dispenser of wine and cheese, so.
Oh, yes. We'll get one of those and some, and you've got plenty of Chaz, so we'll be fine.
Right.
Just in case anyone was asking, which they weren't.
No.
Yeah.
I'm aptly drinking Blindside. Surprise! It is. I don't know what it is. It just says Blindside and it's got a heart. Skull and Bones.
It's a cool bottle, though.
Yeah, it is a, where does it say it? Blindside Organic Chenin Blanc. I don't know what Chenin is, but Blanc means white. So it's an organic white.
Chenin what?
I'm pretty, don't quote me on this, but Chenin, I think, sort of along the same lines as either Riesling or Chardonnay. It's either going to be very dry or very full-bodied.
It is full of passion fruit. I feel like I'm just munching.
I think it's probably more on the Chardonnay side of things, and I'm pretty sure that Chenin is a particular type of grape that's grown in France, but again, don't quote me, it could be Spain.
Yeah. I think we need, Amanda from Wine and Crime. What is Chenin?
Or maybe we should just research our bottles of wine before we come on this podcast.
I think we should just ask an expert. Can we find a friend?
What
does
the back of your bottle say?
Chenin Blanc. Fermented in a stainless steel barrel. That's as much as I've got.
That was fucking helpful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Wine Pyramid Scheme. You've really... open my eyes here. Yeah. Now it is very passion fruity, but it's okay. I'm not dying yet, but we are the start of the episode. So, you know.
At the start of the episode, Amy. And we're 45 minutes in. Yep. Well done.
Yeah. Probably should get to what you're drinking. Hey.
It's French.
I was right. Look at me. I know things.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm drinking our Palazzo Rosé again because delicious reasons. And so good. Actually, like I said in the last episode, was expecting to open this bottle and be quite dry, as I have experienced. But this is just really going down a treat. Might be the heat. Don't actually fucking know, but it's amazing. Get on it. It's actually vegan friendly for anybody who is that way inclined who listens to this podcast.
Ooh, interesting. I've been thinking more about the vegan friendly ones just because of the lactose content.
Yes, our palazzo is your friend. They are mostly vegan, so do that. And we already love the our palazzo Pinot Grigio. So
I have some in my fridge. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so Bianca, what is our topic for tonight?
Well, am I even ready for this? Okay, our topic tonight is true crime, random tales. Trigger warning for all those who are sensitive to any true crime topics. You are warned right now.
Crimes against children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. So, what can I say about true crime that hasn't been said already? I know. Want to play a game?
Yes.
All right. So in the forest, cheat, click the first link.
Oh, where am I? Okay, clicking the first link.
Yeah. This is from a website run by a single person in Australia. They are compiling all the missing persons. So this is an interactive map that shows where people have gone missing from. Wow.
I would have thought a lot more people would have gone missing in the desert, but maybe I have got that wrong.
To be honest, it hasn't loaded.
Oh, yeah, it takes a little bit to load. Yeah.
This is a bit scary. Total persons.
Yep.
Total missing persons.
Missing persons.
Declared deceased.
Yep.
Presumed murdered. Jesus.
Yes, okay. That's what I was about to say. On the left-hand pane, you've got three little extra things. And then you've got at the bottom, you've got a dateline. So you can see, like, she started right from 1938. She's done a lot of compiling.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's done a lot of work on this. So, yes, this is all the missing persons in Australia. The map is fully interactive. You can zoom in and out as much as you like.
I'm just going to, for our listeners, we'll put these links in the blog so that you can
definitely will.
For yourselves. But the misproportion between female people who are going missing and male people is insane. And you would think that females go missing a lot more. No.
Yeah, except for in 1980. Yeah, I don't know what happened in 1980.
It was the 80s, mate. No one knows.
Yeah.
So to all the men out there who may be lost, do you need a map? Like Google Maps? Okay, you just lost. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't really know. Did you go out one night and you forgot where you lived? Like, is this a thing? Because y'all seem to be lost.
Maybe they went to buy milk from that place that a lot of people go, I'm going to buy milk, and then just never come back.
Yeah, just go for a pack of smokes.
The time that Nelson's dad went out for a pack of cigarettes.
So that's the first link from her website. So
a lot of people
now
in the city.
Yeah.
It's because of the dense population when you think about it. I would have thought more people go missing in the desert because that's where I will probably go missing.
That is definitely where any one of us is going to go missing. We will return home from our desert trip a few people less, and that's just the way it is, and we're just gonna accept it.
And
it turns out I flew home early because the air conditioning
and Amy was being a dick, so
I and killed and buried her.
The bus broke down, we had to camp, so Amy had to die.
Just
the law of nature.
And look, Amy actually killed herself and then put herself in the ground because she would rather do that than camp.
Mm.
So it was actually not a murder.
Yeah, and then nobody knew what happened to Amy, so now we're going to click the second link. So our second link is the cold cases in Australia.
Oh.
So this is separate from missing persons.
So again,
197.
You would expect that the female cold cases would be much higher And in fact, it's actually in the males where they just don't have the time or the resources or the fucks to put into the investigations to find these people. Amazing.
Is it there for 91?
Yeah, 91, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, 91?
Yeah. That was the year my sister was born. Jesus Christ. These people are just turned 30. Oh, my God.
Men's case in 1999.
What I actually wanted to I want to show you ladies that this is actually something I came across on TikTok. So this came up on my For You page. She was showcasing her website. So I've messaged her. She's happy for me to talk about this on the podcast.
I am seeing Haunted Stream State Forest. How did I not know this existed in our state? Why have we not gone there? Oh, yeah, I hate camping.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the exact reason.
There is only 4 cold cases in Frankston area.
Let's go solve them. I'll get the mystery van ready to go.
No, that's a lot less than I was expecting.
Yeah, actually, to be honest. I bet they're all from the ambassador as well.
Oh, and if you click on it, it comes up with it.
Oh, so if I go to my hood.
Yeah, go to your hood. Have a look around. Have a look around. I did give you the link so you could have a look around.
There is no cold cases in my hood. None.
That's amazing. See how safe wrong. You are?
That's actually really wrong because Bung Zero Boon went missing from my hood back in the early 2000s and they never found her. She was a schoolgirl that lived in the area and she was on her way to school.
Yes. So let me tell you about Jess, who's running this website. She is a former geospatial and imagery analyst with the Australian government. She spent a lot of time finding trends and patterns in bulk geospatial data and undertaking remote sensing to help make sense of complex issues in support of national security. Holy fuck.
Oh, God, she's a fucking spook. Why did you contact her? We're fucked.
We're friends now.
Oh, you think? I'm going to disappear tomorrow.
She loves finding out things, looking at it through a geospatial lens, and she also loves true crime. Combine the two, and here we are. So she actually is still finishing. This is not finished. So the data on here is as far as she's gone as of today's date, which is the 21st of January, right?
So let's help her. Let's help her. I'll contact her and say, look, you need to put a marker in for Bung Sarah Boone. And any of our listeners who live in Australia and you know local cases in your area after clicking these links, contact Jess. Let her know because the more information that we have about these things, the like, the better chance we have of actually solving them.
Exactly. The website is called mappingthemissing.com. There will be a link on the blog. And she's just doing this for love of true crime, I guess. Like, and it's awareness. Amazing. Yeah, and awareness. Yep. Yeah, she's just a bit of a true crime buff like we are. And, yeah.
Yeah, no, so. I would definitely reach out to her about that missing girl because, yeah, that was a super sad case in my area. Yeah.
Amy, can I just point out that Haunted State Forest
is one
where we used to camp.
Really?
I was camping? Where did that
end? Say.
We didn't camp there, mate. We stayed in the footy club. It's different.
That's as close to camping as you're getting.
There's the street.
It's
on the floor.
Yeah, it's not far from Ensay.
Oh, well, there you go. I probably did do that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explains a lot.
No, it's very, very interesting. And, yeah, randomly came up on my For You page. And if anybody knows, like, TikTok and For You pages, how random they can freaking be. So I was so glad to stumble on mappingthemissing.com. Mapping the Missing, search that on TikTok, on Instagram. I'm not sure if she has a Facebook. Sorry, Jess. But, yeah, definitely Instagram and TikTok. Okay.
Yeah, help a sister out, and if you know cases in your area, let her know, because the more information we have, as I said, it will just help. So
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
well done,
missing persons and cold cases, they need to be solved. All right. So amazing. Yes, that was my introduction to true crime. You're welcome. So for my segment tonight, I am presenting, I'm so excited, The Great Butter Heist. Yeah. Yeah. So this was recommended to us by our biggest Canadian fan, Jen. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. Thank you.
She actually thought we had already covered it when she messaged. She's like, oh, my God, they're talking about The Great Butter Heist, which I'm sure you guys covered. And I was like, no.
We didn't.
Jen, I understand.
Did we tell you about maple syrup?
Maybe. There was a decade before this happened, there was a big maple syrup heist. Yeah.
We talked a lot about sandwiches and I don't remember much else.
No, so we definitely haven't talked about this because the heist happened on Christmas Day 2021.
Oh, recent winner.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. Right. So, yeah, we definitely haven't talked about it. Yes, it happened Christmas Day at around 11 p.m. at night. So four suspects broke into a warehouse in Trenton, Ontario, after being dropped off by a black SUV. They allegedly entered and seized two transport trucks and trailers. Each of the trailers stolen had 20,000 kilograms of butter inside.
Oh shit, God. That's a lot of butter.
Yeah, that's a fuckload of butter. Right. So it was worth, the police said, right, that it was worth around $200,000.
That's exactly the amount of butter that you need for one of Jamie Oliver's recipes.
Or a baked potato when you're real drunk.
This is true. Yeah.
Because you measure that with your heart.
They were either culinary enthusiasts who were just trying to follow Jamie Oliver, or they were just drunk cunts and they wanted a baked potato. Either way, I can feel this. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the trailers were found nearly 2 hour drive away in Toronto. Yeah. The trailers?
Empty?
Empty. The butter? Stolen. Things on the lamb. Yeah. The Ontario Provincial Police are seeking the public's assistance in tracking down the thieves. Mm-hmm. Bill Dixon, a spokesman for the police force, said in an email, there's no catalogue of how many such crimes the OPP, yep, has investigated in recent years.
It's the Officer of Public Prosecutions, but now I just realised it's OPP.
No, it's not. It's not the Officer of Public Prosecutions. It's the Ontario Provincial Police.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yep, the OPP. Yeah, you know me. Oh, God. Yeah.
Stop it.
So, what he also said, I can tell you that anecdotally, none of us can remember anything quite like this involving dairy products. That was in the email. So, after reading that statement, I did some digging. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? There's been nothing. Okay. I found this interesting article that directly related to the Great Butter Heist case, but elaborated more on the motive behind such thefts.
It was Jamie Oliver's last cookbook, I tell you. No,
it really fucking wasn't, and it's all blown my mind, and I've uncovered two different separate things that are bad. So
has it got something to do with lobsters?
No, not at all. Like, this is just, it's just all sorts of fucked. So we've got this, so, oh God, I'm not going to be able to say his name right. I knew I did to this bit. I'm going to change his name. I'm going to try and say once properly, and then for the rest, he's Charlie Boy. Okay. So his name is
Charlie Boy.
Sylvain Chalet Boy. No, Chalet Boo.
Chalet Boo.
Chalet Boy. Chalet. fuck, I had it. I had the YouTube of the direct, like how I said it. I put it into the Skype chat. I'm like, I'm never going to fucking say this. Charlebeau. Charlebeau? It's something like that. It's stupid French. Freaking Canadian French. I'm so sorry, my dude. I really can't say your name. You're going to be Charlie Boy because we're Aussies and we love a nickname. And yes. Sylvie doesn't sit right with me. So Charlie Boy it is.
Charlie Boy.
So Charlie Boy, who's the director of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab. He's got abs. Yep.
He doesn't if he stole all that butter.
No. So Agri-Food Analytics Lab. Thank you, Tongue. At the Dalhousie University. So he suspects there's far more theft in the grocery industry than what we know about.
Oh, I read an article about this. Interesting. Ooh. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, so it's reasonably easy, he explained, to resell stolen food to like restaurateurs or food service industries that like they won't ask too many questions. Like for the price is good.
Yes, especially if it's perishable because the amount of time that the police spend on these things doesn't matter how much the actual resale value is, right? They go, well, what are we going to do? In 3 months by the time we've cracked the case, you can't recover it. And what are you going to do? You're going to shut down a restaurant that's worth $50,000. Why are you bothering?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. So, in light of the higher food prices, probably theft is a real concern at both retail and wholesale. And Charlie Boy says, like, some foods, butter among them, can be frozen and otherwise easily preserved. So there's no spoilage that might push for a rush sale.
Especially when you you steal it in the middle of December, or at the end of December in Canada where it's freezing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to track and trace. That's why police are looking for the culprits in this particular case. Most cases aren't even reported because companies will try to deal with it in-house, or they may actually know who's done it. Like they may have someone, like it's an inside job or something like that, and they don't want to attract the attention. So they'll just deal with it.
The other thing I read too is that a lot of companies, what they'll do is they'll make insurance claims for these sorts of things, but they'll sell it on the side.
Yeah. So, yes, Charlie Boy, in his findings, he says there's also a substantial, like the food theft at a retail level is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000. This is in Canada, by the way, this is not like worldwide. This is just Canada. 3,000, 4,000 per week per grocery store on average. Wow. I can't even. As a teenage dirtbag, not saying what I did, but I was a teenage dirtbag. That's a fucking lot. But then Canada's huge. Like, you got to think about it. Canada's huge. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that there wouldn't be similar numbers here. Just like a little bit here and there. And you know what has driven this number up in recent years is the prevalence of self-serve. Because people will just put things through as not what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they don't put things through whatsoever and they leave it on the side and then they pay for the things that they're going to pay for and then they just bag it all up and the cashier or the person at the end of the line doesn't ask them anything.
No.
They go, oh, yeah, you've paid. I saw the little green light go off. Done.
Yeah, exactly. And like the thing is too, like the end of it is that the cost, like there's $3,000 to $4,000, right? That's being passed on to consumers. Like yours, you're paying for that in the long run anyway.
And if it's not consumers, it's not the supermarkets. Let's be honest. No, they're massive chains and stuff like that. They're multi-billion dollar industries. Yeah. It's the poor fucking farmers who are dealing with it. Or us. Yeah. Stop doing it, people. Yeah, yes. We pay for it or the farmers do. Stop it.
Exactly. So it increases inflation. That's how inflation works.
You wonder why
we can't print money. It's the same thing.
You wonder why you're stealing can't afford food. A house?
Because
inflation's up to shit. Stop it.
Yeah. And the government price controls, which drives up the cost of food. The price of butter, as with other dairy products, this is just something I found out, right, in Canada, is strictly managed by the Canadian Dairy Commission, or CDC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So don't go to them when the zombie outbreak happens. Just, yeah.
Or Jamie Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah, or Jamie
Oliver. He's going to have stockpiles. So, yeah.
The price paid to dairy farmers for milk will increase by 8.4%, while butter payments are going to increase by 12.4% in February this year, 2022. So what I think has happened is obviously this information is released, people know about it. These thieves actually knew about this price increase, purposely stole the butter, and are going to sell it at a reasonable price that's still below this massive increase in February.
Smart.
That's what I reckon.
Hmm. Yeah. Smart.
And these increases are actually the largest price hike since the commission was created in 1967. Mm. And, yeah, the consumers are going to pay for it, obviously. But that's not all I found. Oh, my God. This came up as well. The wholesale theft the butter heist, right? It comes hot off the heels of another butter industry scandal.
No.
I didn't know about this at all. I need to ask Jen. After the pandemic, so I'm talking crazy bulk buying weirdos that ruin shopping for the rest of us, right?
Oh, right.
They caused a demand for butter to, like, it spiked. There was no fucking butter on the shelves, right? So some farmers in Canada were allegedly feeding their cows palm oil to up their fat production and increase butter production, which in turn consumers were ending up with butter that didn't soften at room temperature, milk that didn't foam, and cheese that was weirdly textured. They fucked with Canada's cheese.
Oh. Yeah. But, yeah, this is insane. This is what people do when they've got a back against the wall. This is fucked.
I'm sorry, but palm oil's bad. We all know it's fucking bad.
Yes.
It's so bad for you. Like, why were they feeding their cows fucking palm oil?
I'm so mad. The problem with the corn syrup as well. Yeah. In America, it's the same fucking issue. We need to stop all of that. Yes, I don't preach go vegan, but just find these things that don't have those products in them and just switch to those because Jesus Christ.
Because then the people who are doing it eventually have to stop. Yeah. If no one's buying their products, they have to stop.
Exactly.
And that's what we want. We just want them to stop. They can keep having their, you know, their beautiful dairy cows, and they can make their dairy, they can make it ethically.
Yeah.
Just be ethical.
There's no problem with it. We can actually still have all the things. You just have to do it properly. Jesus Christ, why is it hot?
Yeah. So, yes, how dare they? I'm so mad. And this is a cold case. All our Canadian listeners, if you have any information, go to your popo.
Jen, we're coming over, staying at your house. I'm going to solve this thing. I need a minivan that I can call the mystery van.
We can do this. We're just going to Winnebago. So, yeah, my case is a cold case.
We're on it.
So, I got, yeah.
Crack me on it. This is fine.
But, yeah, I just kept going. Like, I just kept looking, and I was like, oh, what? This happened. Oh, what? This happened. Oh, fuck. This article's getting way more different than I thought it was going to be.
Preaching veganism, but only to a certain extent that doesn't involve us not eating cheese.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened? Sarah, what have you got for us?
Yeah.
Please. Alrighty.
Save us.
Yeah.
So, my story does not contain anything that harms the production of cheese.
Oh, thank God.
Thank Christ. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Praise Gandalf.
Take a big deep breath.
Go. Yeah.
Praise Gandalf. Praising Dumbledore. Whatever.
Okay, so just letting everyone know, pre-warning, I have dictated this.
I'm so excited.
So it will not make sense.
Right.
I'm so excited.
100%.
Do not change things.
I will change things. I'm sorry, but no. I'm not reading it verbatim. I'm sorry. So I heard about this case a couple of months ago, and I cannot for the life of me remember where I heard it from. And it is, in fact, an unsolved case from Germany.
You know what's really funny? Bianca has an unsolved case. You have an unsolved case. There's an element of my case that is also unsolved, which is
amazing.
Yeah. We could have just rebranded this as Unsolved Cases instead of Random Tales.
Oh, let's just call it Unsolved. Yeah,
it's,
it's too late now. No, it's not. No, it's not. We haven't released it yet.
Yeah, but we've already talked about it. We've already.
Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, but now we've just changed it. Look, our listeners expect this.
Tangent train. Get them all the tangent train.
Yeah, so the year was 1921. In Germany, the Hinterkaifeck farm was just a little bit north, I believe, of Munich.
Okay, yep.
So the Gruber family was the family that lived there. You had Andreas. I don't know if I'm going to say this name right. Kazalia, something similar to that. I'm not very good. Their daughter, Victoria, and her children, Kazalia and Joseph.
Would have been Joseph.
It would have been Joseph.
Yeah, they would have been relatives of Hans Gruber, who fell off the Nakatomi Tower in 1985.
I was going to say that.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, rest in peace. I think I just solved this case. Bruce Willis.
It was Hans.
Yoo-hoo. That damn Hans Gruber.
Anyway. And the maid, the live-in maid also lived there.
Okay. Obviously, live-in maid, yeah.
So Josef was about 2. Not even. Okay. Only little. And Kazalia Jr., which is what I'm going to call her because there's 2 of them.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been, I think they said she was about 5, a little bit older. So it was a few months before the murders when the maid of the Gruber family started hearing strange noises coming from the walls. So she'd go up and she'd start listening and she'd hear shit tapping around and moving, but she couldn't work out what it was. Well, then she started hearing footsteps in the attic and disembodied voices.
Goblins, yep.
So, yeah, she was a little bit worried. So she turned around to Andreas and said, I think there's someone in your attic. Can you go check? So he comes into the house, goes up to the attic, and has a look around. There is no sign that there's been anyone up there. So he's like, nah, it's fine. You're just hearing shit. Go back to work. We'll be all good. So this continues. And because she's a maid that pretty much works in the house by herself while everyone else is running the farm, she knows where things are placed.
Yeah, and a 2 and a 5-year-old isn't going to do much damage. Like, they're not going to be in the walls. So,
If they are, because they're 2 and 5, let's be honest, they probably could be in the walls. You would notice the difference in the voices, obviously.
Yeah. Well, she started getting moved around. So she's like, oh, shit, this is weird. Still hearing the voices, still hearing the footprints. Okay, can you just come check upstairs again for me? So she does this quite often. She calls Andreas in. Can you check the ceiling? There's something there. There's nothing here. You're going crazy. Just get back to work.
Why would you go up there with him? That's what I would do. Check that. See that scary fucking object-looking thing in the back there? You check that. Why?
I don't know. It's 1921.
Yeah, this is true. And it's her boss.
Yeah.
I'd make my boss go and do it. I'd probably make mine too. We're in 2022, so
Shit, I made my boss freaking take my job while I went off for an hour today. I'm going out for an hour. Can you just do my job? Excellent. Aye. I'll be back. So by the end of it, she thinks the house is haunted. She's like, it's too much. I can't handle your fucking house is haunted. And she did what any sane person would do. And she's like, later. Bye.
Bye.
So off she pops.
Okay.
She's like, I ain't fucking dealing with your haunted shit. I'm leaving. So they're
hasta la vista, baby.
Fuck. Well, there goes our maid. So they were without a maid for 6 months.
That is the most tragic thing I've ever heard.
It was. Because that their workload then became a lot more.
Oh, I have to deal with a farm and a house and I own all of this? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Tragedy to me.
Pretty much. There's three adults and two children. And they're running an entire farm. So, yeah.
Well, this is their mistake. They should have got on with the Catholics and they should have had more kids so that they had more slaves, right? I mean children, not slaves. Children, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so they're all tired, extra work.
Hard.
Yeah, much hard.
Hate farms, yeah.
In that time, no one heard anything. No footsteps, no voices, no fucking possums in the wall.
It's because the crazy maid left, so yeah. It's
because the crazy maid left. Until Andreas himself started hearing the voices and the footsteps.
Fucking possums, I tell you.
And he went, wow, this is odd.
So, maybe the maid wasn't crazy.
Yeah, maybe our house is haunted. Huh. I'll ask my family if they've heard anything. So they kind of went, no.
And you know what I'm seeing now? Because they're German and I've just recently seen Frozen. The Scandinavian thing. I'm just seeing this guy going, yoo-hoo, family, have you heard any strange voices in the world?
No? Okay. But with slightly more of a cranky tone because that's just the German language. So, yeah. So the family's like, no. But then a little while later, they're like, oh, yes, we hear this shit. This is fucking weird. Okay, let's just check the roof, you know, all the rooms, the barn, the tool shed. We'll just fucking look everywhere. And nothing. They found nothing.
Okay.
So they're just like, oh, right. And then they noticed a set of house keys had gone missing.
Corporeal. Now it's annoying. Now you have to burn the place to the ground.
I have lost house keys before. Yeah. I don't know.
Were they mine or yours?
They were my house keys, your house keys. It's fine. I've still got your house keys. I don't have any.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, they noticed that and they're like, fuck. Okay. So weird shit kept happening. Yeah, just things moving. Noises. So one day, the kids actually went missing. Now, I think it was one of the kids. I also read on a different article, it could have been the daughter Victoria. But someone went missing and they actually were found later that evening in the forest.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They didn't know how they got there. Where am I? What am I doing here? Excellent. Oh, this is a nice
tree. Oh, so she was alive in the forest.
They were alive.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Whew. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what's happening. So we're going to skip ahead to March.
Okay, cool.
1922.
Yeah.
And on the property, Andreas actually found a newspaper from Munich. Now, this wouldn't be too unusual if he subscribed to said newspaper or anyone of his neighbours subscribed to said newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But no one did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Random newspaper. That's creepy. Yeah. Stand on his property. So he's like, this is odd. Thought maybe the postman had dropped it and realised, well, no, because he's a little community. No one subscribes to this shit.
Postman was just fucked up that day, so yeah.
Maybe. So they also noticed a little bit of damage done to, when I say a little bit, I mean a lot of damage done to their tool shed. Someone trying to break in.
Okay.
Yes. And then the most horrifying thing ever. One morning, Andreas got up, opened up his back door, or was it the front door? Can't remember. Opened up one of the doors.
Looking at my back door.
All the same on a farm, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Looked down before he stood out and noticed footprints in the snow. Because at this point, coming to the end of winter. They had a big heap of snow overnight.
Yeah.
Footprints in the snow. Footprints led up to the house from the forest.
Oh, no.
There was no return set of footprints.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a hard fucking no. Get out. Burn the house down. Fuck, Jesus.
Yeah. So he did what any man would do.
Burn the house down.
Okay.
No. Yeah. He locked the door, locked himself and his family inside.
Inside, of course.
What? Yes. Inside?
Inside.
Yeah, he's so clearly fucking white. Oh, my God. Yeah. A black person would have got out the house and fucking burnt the place down.
No, they searched the house.
It's 1922. He hasn't seen all the horror movies we've seen.
Yeah, that's
good
true.
Point. Good point.
Yeah. So
burn the house down.
Burn the house down, though. Yeah.
Searched around the house, like, searched in the house, nothing. So he goes back out and he does a walk around the house, hoping to find an exit set of.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, nothing leading away from the house.
Oh, all I'm going to say is, like, so, hashtag white people.
Yeah, so he searches everywhere. So he goes.
This is Amy. Oh, look, a sound.
This is me.
This is you. Yeah.
And it's me and my kid inside the house, and I've just armed my kid with an alien head and a spear.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's all right, we got this.
Yeah, we're just going to check the perimeter.
Right. So anyway, he checks the tool shed, he checks the barn, nothing.
Tis
does
a fun
not
arm
his chainsaw.
He does what any good white man would do.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm going to follow the footprints back into the forest.
Wow, cool.
So he gets to the edge of the forest.
Yep.
And that's where the footprints start.
Yep.
That's where the footprints end.
How?
There are no more footprints. It's just they magically appear at the beginning.
I know how.
Is he a fucking Ewok?
No. What he's done is he's walked through the forest. He's got a branch. You run the branch behind you. You scuff up your footprints as you're walking. Throw the branch. No one's going to fucking notice. It's a forest. And then you start walking. Your footprints are gone.
Deep.
And it just, yeah.
Even if you've seen too many crime docos like I have, and I know exactly what that is, but yeah.
You're not gonna, like it's not, it's 1920 something. The snow falling is gonna fill up anything that you haven't fucking destroyed. No one's gonna know.
Spider-Man. This is what I'm going with. He climbed through the trees until he got to the edge and then he had to walk.
Is he an Ewok? Bianca drops some logic on us. Bianca, and then Sarah follows with, it's Spider-Man. Yeah. You can see where the brains of this fucking podcast lie. Yeah.
Clearly, it's me.
Why am I the brain suck? No, look, I'm happy to believe it's an Ewok.
I was happy with Ewok, but okay.
I'm pretty happy with Ewok.
What's wrong with Spider-Man?
No, it's an Ewok.
Okay. Anyway, so at this point, he's starting to really freak out.
Yeah.
So he goes to his neighbor. I can't. It's Lorenz Schlittenberg or something like that. I don't fucking.
It looks like Schlittenbauer. It looks That's like Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Schlittenbauer with a big sum of blowout. Yep, Lorenz.
Schlittenbauer.
Something like
I think
that.
I think he needs to be real drunk to speak German. It's just Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
It's
Steve. Well, possibly.
Our accents are more Nordic, Bianca. We're not getting this right whatsoever. Yeah. We're sorry, our German listeners. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so he
Guten Morgen, guten Evening, guten Tag. Jacob,
shut the fuck up.
I'm speaking
guten
German.
Shut the fuck up.
Guten shut the fuck up.
Anyway, so he goes to his neighbor's house and he says, this is what's been happening. It's kind of freaking me out. And his neighbor's like, oh, yeah, that sounds kind of fucking weird.
Yeah.
Do you want some help? Would you like some extra weapons? I've got some guns, some pitchfork, whatever.
I've got a pal named Jesse. She's real fucking cranky. You can have her though.
Yeah. He goes, No. I just thought I'd, get it off my chest. And
really?
So, yeah.
Jesus.
So
but the Germans are very stoic. So, yeah, I kind of get it.
And he clearly hasn't seen the horror movies we've seen.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Be Achilles of Greece. So.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
Run, you dumb white bitch.
So, yeah. So, after he goes to his neighbors, he's just like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. We're all good. We're just going crazy. This is all it is.
Panicking.
Going crazy.
It's okay.
So, yeah, a little bit after he left his neighbor's place, a couple of days and that, he gets some good news. New living maid.
Yay.
Yay. Okay.
And she arrived on March the 31st. Her sister dropped her off and then was on her way. So the maid's name is Maria. Not that much. But unfortunately, for Maria, this was not the sound of music.
Okay.
And she didn't end up marrying a baron.
A deer, a piece of bread. Ray, did I fuck Ray?
There was no sound of music here, love. So, little did...
It's going to get dark real quick.
Yeah.
Little did Maria know that the dog did not shut the fuck up.
I know.
Shut up!
But he's German!
He's the German Shepherd!
Jesus!
We're talking about his ancestors here, Sarah. Jesus.
He doesn't know about his fucking ancestors.
He might.
His ancestors to him are probably the rabbits. Anyway, so little did Maria know that on the day she arrived, it was probably not the best choice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because shit's real weird. We still don't know what's going on. Okay.
Definitely. Later on that night, something weird was happening. One by one, members of the Gruber house were making their way to the barn. So one member would walk out and walk into the barn. Then next member would walk out and walk into the barn. And then the next one out and into the barn.
What?
So, yeah. And then poor little Cazalia Jr., well, into the barn.
What?
Every time they would go into the barn, they would be hit in the head with a mattock, which is like a pickaxe slash axe. It's kind of got a flattish head. They'd be hit in the head, killed.
So a mattock is kind of like a wood splitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, but it's
got the hammer. Yeah, I don't know what you mean.
It's facing the other way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's more flat than long. So yeah, and then whatever it was that hit them, or whoever it was that hit them in the head, would pick their body up, drag it to the corner of the barn, place it nicely, cover it in hay. Next member of the family would come in. No one knows why. Each member went in by themselves or what drew them into the barn, but it happened 4 times.
I think I could, shed some light on that. Well, basically, the last person that you led into the barn, you just hold that person up and say, right, you need to come in here, otherwise I'm going to kill your family member.
No.
And then you just keep leading the next one in.
Don't know. But, yeah, it was Andreas, Cazalia Sr., Victoria and Cazalia Jr., all hit in the head, all placed in the barn. The killer then went into the house, killed Maria the maid in her bed, and then killed Joseph in his crib.
Mm-hmm. See, they're the people that you couldn't lure into the barn. Joseph couldn't actually go into the barn, and Maria didn't give a fuck. She's just been employed. Kill those fuckers. I'm out of here.
She hadn't even been there for 24 hours.
Correct. She had no fucks.
Yeah. So a couple of days later, around the 4th of April, a repairman had shown up to do some work on, I think, a feeder or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he knocked on the front door and no one answered. The lights were on. The dog was barking inside. But, no one came to the door. So the repairman's
like... your house.
Yeah. We're just hiding. No one fucking speaks to you. So he's like, I know where the machine is. I'll just go start fixing it. So off he goes. He's fixing it. Then he notices the dog's outside, tied up. He's like, oh, okay. So he goes back up to the door, knocks on it. Still no answer. So he's like, fucking weird. So he fixes the machine and then he goes next door to the neighbor's house and says, look, I've just been over at the Gruber's farm. I've fixed the feeder. I thought there was someone there. The dog was inside. Now he's outside. Don't know what's happening. Can you just tell them that I've been and what I've done? He's like, yep, that's fine. So the neighbor.
I like what you dictated. I fixed the groomer's fade out. Like they asked him to know where they saved the little lodge. Maybe you should go over at some point, check it out. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's they not save a little up? Yeah. And the fade out wasn't quite right. It's not what they asked for. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually
was focused on what you were saying, Sarah, and it was really interesting that what you were saying was that the repairer had noted that he thought that the dog's barking was coming from inside originally, but then he found the dog outside tied up, so the killer was kept there. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, well, that's what I thought inside. Too, but then I...
Then
shenanigans ensue. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, his fade out wasn't right. Sue that hairdresser.
Anyway, so later on that night, the neighbour actually goes over. And at this point, it was kind of darkish.
Yeah, why did you wait till it was dark? Oh God.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you take the repair man and like an army and go, right, we're going to fucking find this family.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So they go over. Well, because the neighbors had noticed the smoke coming from the chimney, noticed, you know, someone had been tending to the farm. You know, it looked all normal. So, yeah.
Okay.
Have a code word with your local
farming. Look around, knocks on the door.
Yeah. Have a code word. Yell it out. And then if you can't quite see the person in the distance who's tending to the farm, if you have a code word, this is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me finish. So he goes over. He's looking. He knocks on the door. No one's answered. Clearly he can see the lights are on. Someone's been inside cooking and, you know, tending to the farm and stuff. And he's like, oh, this is kind of weird. So he goes into the barn and he can't really see much because, you know, darkish, but he notices a body. So he finds two of the bodies. He's like, oh, well, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call the police on this.
Pub's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point.
Good, cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Plan. Yep.
So, yeah, calls the police. The police come in and they find the other two bodies. Then they go to the house and they find the two bodies inside. But they find that there has been someone living there for, like, the 4 days.
In the barn?
In the house.
In the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Eating the food, sitting in the chair, sleeping in the beds.
So, Andreas, every time that fucking maid asked you to go up into the attic, you didn't fucking look, did you? You went up and you had a bit of a scan and you thought it was fine. Idiot.
Where were they hiding?
Yeah.
In the walls?
That makes the most sense.
Can't really see in the walls. There's probably like a little nook that no one could really see in. So, yeah, there is someone living there for 4 days, you know, playing with the dog, milking the cows, tending the farm. They were fully fucking living there.
Why? Why were you tending the farm? That makes no sense. Oh, God.
No one knows because there was no one at the house when the police arrived. They searched thoroughly through that house, through the barn, everywhere. And there was no clue as to who it was. They did think it could have been the neighbor, but they then ruled him out because, you know, he had a family. He had his own fucking farm to attend to.
Yeah, why is he fucking murdering next door and then tending to their farm? He's busy as it is. The
thing is, Andreas wasn't a well-liked man. And he had actually told his neighbour, because his neighbour wanted to marry his daughter. And he said, no.
Not She's happening. 12 and you're 47.
No, the daughter had two kids.
Oh, God.
You know, the ones that were murdered.
Or is that just in my head?
No,
the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old
were Victoria's daughters, which were Andreas and Kazalia's daughters.
Right. Okay.
She was widowed.
I've had too much to drink.
I'm still confused.
Victoria was widowed, so she was older.
Okay.
Yeah. So to this day, don't know what happened. The case was reopened a few years back.
Really?
But yeah. But still no answers.
Because none of the evidence that you would expect that would have any relevance today would have been collected at the time.
Yeah.
There would have been no witnesses. So what's the point of reopening it at this point? Seems weird.
Oh, no, in case anyone had any other information. Apparently in one article that I read, someone was driving near there and a guy ran out from the forest, asked a bunch of questions to a driver that was going past about the case, and I'm the one that did it. I killed them and then ran off back into the forest.
Weird.
Yeah, well, that crazy man had never been found.
Yeah, I mean, if that was recent, he'd be so old.
Yeah, no, that was a few years
back. He'd be dead.
Yeah, but even then, he'd be old. Like, it'd have to be an old man.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, that happened, you know, like a few years after the case originally happened.
Oh, okay.
So they tried to use that, but, yeah.
But now, if you're appealing for information, like, for instance, the driver of the car that interacted with that man, dead. Guaranteed, have to be dead by now.
Depends on how old they were.
I don't know. And then,
well, if you think 1930s, they'd still be alive.
Maybe.
No, 1920s, they'd be, what, 100?
Yeah. Also, you'd have to be 18 at least when you were driving in Germany. I think 18 has always been the driving age. So.
And it depends on how far back the case was actually over. It was mid-2000s, so around 2011, I think.
Yeah, so most people who'd have any information to be dead.
Yeah. But, yeah, so
that's interesting. I like that. That was, bit of a brain twist. I love it.
So, Amy.
Yeah.
All right.
What's your case?
This one's heavy as fuck. So.
Yeah, I don't know whether I need to have, like, a smoke break.
I just cracked a can into my microphone because I finished my wine and I need a chaser, so.
Okay, all right.
There's this saying, I think it's actually an English saying, but Australians have adopted it. It's thank your mother for your rabbits. Thank your mother for the rabbits. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Thank your Sarah for the cider that she left in your fridge because you need a chaser. Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. The Rock, you should sing in all your movies. Just putting it out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Please don't.
Okay. I have been Captain Interrupting all the way through this, so this should go through really quickly. But it's heavy and it's full on, and I will take all your questions at the end, I promise, because I have delved into this. Promise.
I'll forget my questions before the end.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
That's what I'm waiting. That's what I'm hoping for. So
yeah, no, it's never going to happen.
Okay, so tonight I am going to finish our episode with the tale of Susan Cox Powell. I am an avid true crime fan, and I often go looking through the true crime catalogs of my streaming services just to see what I can dig up. I like the random stories that not necessarily in the media particularly. Like, I like the backstories. So this one really stuck with me, and I'm really glad that I get to discuss this on this podcast. Obviously, this is a true crime episode, so something fairly tragic happens. However, strap in, people, because this tale is really full on, and I just want to do a quick shout out to Wikipedia for writing a large chunk of my segment for me.
Oh, yeah, slipping some money at the end.
This is full on. It's got a lot to it. I will shout out a documentary that goes through a lot of the evidence that I'm just going to gloss over.
That I was totally going to watch it, but I didn't have time.
Yeah, you said that every time I've done a true crime thing. So, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But yeah, this is one of those ones that has so many moving parts. I didn't know how to condense it so that I could say it to all you guys in under, you know, like a reasonable time frame. So Wikipedia helped me out. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So Susan Marie Powell, who was born Cox and then married, and her married name is Powell, she was born on October the 16th in 1981. She is technically an American missing person from West Valley City, Utah, whose disappearance and presumed murder, as well as the subsequent investigation and events, garnered national media attention as well as attention from worldwide sources. Susan's husband Joshua was named as a person of interest in the investigation into her disappearance but was never actually charged. So let's talk about Josh Powell for a minute. Josh was born in 1976 to Stephen and Trisha. I think that's supposed to be. I don't actually know.
Trisha.
I don't know. Yeah. Powell. Yeah. And he had a brother and two sisters. Josh's parents had a pretty bad marriage, mainly due to Stephen's voyeurism and his pornography obsessions. Susan and Josh met at a dinner party when she was 19 and he was 24 in Tacoma, Washington. So the state, not the capital, for those who are not in the US and don't really understand this. So, yeah, it's Washington, the state, not the capital. Yeah. The couple married a year later, and then after the wedding, the couple lived with Josh's father, Stephen. Initially, unbeknownst to Susan, her father-in-law, Stephen, had developed an obsessive infatuation with her. Stephen followed Susan around the house with a camcorder, used a small mirror to spy on her while she was using the bathroom. He stole her underwear from her laundry and read her journals. In 2003, Stephen confessed his amorous feelings to a stunned Susan, who rejected him. The encounter was inadvertently captured by Stephen's camcorder microphone. This all was ever entered into evidence. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yep.
And she shut him down. Yeah, she shut him down. Susan and Josh moved out of state soon after that. Yeah, partly so Susan could distance herself from Stephen. Susan's journal entries and email correspondence indicated the presence of marital discord. There was tension with Joshua over his refusal to attend church services with Susan and their two children, and over his he was a bit like he was still sort of kind of obsessed with his family. So even though his father's clearly fucking stalking his wife, he was still having contact with his dad.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to keep going. The family, even though you've tried to cut ties, you just I feel you.
Dad's weird, and you get over it. If anybody else doesn't feel like they can be in contact with him, that's fine. But Dad's weird and he's still my dad, weird. So I'm just going to have to deal with it. Yeah, that's probably where he was at.
That psychologically, it makes sense that there was still contact.
It was hard. So Susan's friends also pointed to Joshua's extremely controlling behavior towards his wife and his extravagant spending habits. Joshua filed for bankruptcy in 2007, declaring over $200,000 in debts.
Oh, he just needed some butter. He'll be fine.
Yeah, right? He was not selling butter. This was not a thing. Yeah. Susan recorded a video in July 2008 surveying property damage that she attributed to Joshua and wrote a secret will that included statements. I want it documented that there is extreme turmoil in our marriage. If I die, it may not be an accident, even if it looks like one.
What? Blech. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. I've got chills. All right.
Right. Yeah. It gets worse. Okay. So on the morning of the 6th of December, 2009, Susan and her two children attended church services. A neighbor visited them at their home in the afternoon, and they left at about 5 o'clock. This was the last time that Susan was seen by somebody outside of the Powell household. The entire family was reported missing on the 7th of December by relatives. Joshua's mother, Teresa, is that what we're calling her? Terica?
Yeah,
Teresa.
Terracotta.
By Joshua's mother, Terracotta, and his sister, I am telling Sarah's German. And sister Jennifer Graves. They went looking for the family at their house shortly after being informed that the children had not been dropped off at daycare that morning. They called the police when they failed to make contact with Joshua or Susan. The police broke into the house fearing that the family were victims of carbon monoxide poisoning. This was a hot topic back in the day because there was an actress and her husband that fell to this. There was all sorts of stuff going around about this stuff at this point. They found no one inside, but they noticed two box fans blowing a wet spot on a couch. Susan did not show up to her job on the 7th of December. Her purse, her wallet, and her identification were all found in the house. Her cell phone was later found in her family's only vehicle, the minivan, which Joshua had been using. It gets way weirder. Strap in. Okay. So later that day at about 5 o'clock, Joshua returned to the home with the two boys and was taken to the police station for questioning.
Yep.
Get this. He claimed he left Susan sleeping at home shortly after midnight on the 7th of December in Utah and took the boys on a camping trip in the Simpson Springs in western Utah. In December. In December. They were babies. They were toddlers.
Yeah.
You were
camping in the snow?
In the snow. Interesting. After midnight. Okay.
Who leaves after midnight with toddlers? Poor planning.
Who goes camping? Like, I mean, you lost me at camping. But anyway. Yeah.
Amy, not everyone is so disgusted by camping as you. There are a lot of people out there that enjoy it.
I've been burned. I went. Okay, I'm just putting it out there. Anyway. Okay. So police visited Simpson Springs on the 10th of December but found no evidence of the campsite that Joshua had described. They also found it suspicious that Joshua would take his young boys out camping in blizzard conditions after midnight when he was scheduled to go to work at his job just hours later. Joshua did not tell his boss that he was not coming into work the next day. Yeah. Yeah. Get this, Sarah, you will understand this. He explained to police that he thought it was Sunday, not Monday. You remember that time you forgot it wasn't Tuesday?
Yeah. I do remember the time I forgot it wasn't Tuesday. Wasn't that yesterday?
He doesn't work on Mondays? That makes no fucking sense. Who doesn't work on a Monday?
Like,
in a normal position.
So upon searching the Powell residence on the 9th of December, investigators found traces of Susan's blood on the floor. Life insurance policies on Susan for the amount of $1.5 million and a handwritten letter from Susan expressing her fear for her life. DNA results released in 2013 match one blood sample with Susan, while another sample was determined to have come from an unknown male contributor.
It was 2013. So when did this happen? 2009. So that was years later.
I'll get there.
2009. Just, yeah. I'm trying to follow the timeline, but I'm like way too many drinks down. So, yeah, amazing.
As our favorite true crime podcasters say, I'll get there. Just wait a minute. I'll get there. Okay.
Okay.
So in August 2012, Valley City Police released documents showing that Joshua took actions that were regarded as highly suspicious following Susan's disappearance. Joshua liquidated Susan's retirement accounts, cancelled her regular scheduled chiropractic appointments and withdrew his children from daycare almost immediately. He had previously spoken to co-workers about how to hide a body in an abandoned mine shaft in the western Utah desert. I dare say Sarah has this conversation with her work colleagues all the time about the time. Where she's going to put me.
Yeah. I had it today.
Right. Or a child at any point in time.
Teenage child. Let's categorize that because, you know, we've said like at what stages they're cute but kind of annoying, what stages they're shit, and their teenagers are demonic. So.
And when they're ghosts, they can just fuck off.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the police interviewed the couple's elder son, Charlie, and I think he was probably about 4 at the time, I think. Aww. Yeah, I think he would have even been younger. I think he might have been 3. I can't remember off the top of my head. He confirmed that they went on this camping trip that Joshua described to police. However, unlike his father, he stated that Susan had actually gone with them, but she didn't return. Weeks after his disappearance, a teacher reported that Charlie had claimed that his mother was dead. Furthermore, Susan's parents, Chuck and Judy Cox, claimed that while the kids were at daycare several months after the disappearance, the youngest child, so he would have been like 2,
drew
a picture of a van with 3 people in it and told carers, "Mummy was in the trunk."
Oh, oof.
Okay.
Dang. All right.
So, investigators informed the media that they had planned to question Joshua again. They subpoenaed all of the footage and interviews, aired and unaired, of Joshua from local TV stations. On the 14th of December, Joshua retained an attorney in connection with the investigation, and the police said that he grew increasingly uncooperative. I'm not reading into this at all. I'm not reading into the fact that he liquidated all of her assets.
Yeah.
If he honestly believed that she just fucked off with somebody else, he would have been mad and I would have been too. You just fucking abandoned our family. I'm fucking taking your money. It's an initial rage. It's a reaction. It's part of the grief process. Yeah. I fully fucking understand. Right. So when he all of a sudden there's more of a increased police presence, the retainment of a lawyer is not something that you should say, well, they're definitely guilty. No, definitely fucking not. You definitely should retain a lawyer at every single step of the process because this shit is really, really fucking complicated. You're not going to understand what the police are saying to you. You need legal representation. So I don't necessarily judge anything that he's done up to this point. Okay. Yep. A few days later, he took his sons to Washington to stay with his father, Stephen, for the holidays. By the 24th of December, Joshua was considered by the police as a person of interest in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is about a month after. Right, so on the 6th of January 2010, Joshua returned to his home.
Back in time?
Okay, so when the police were formulating all of these things and they're like, this dude's suspicious. They're like, oh, my God, what's he doing? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this was all back in 2009, just after Susan went missing. So when they were talking about what the kids were doing and, like, what they reported to carers and stuff like that, that just sort of came afterwards. It's just a bit of a narrative of what the kids thought they saw. All right. Along the process, it's really hard to like put that into a fucking timeline because it doesn't make sense when you actually put it into the timeline when they said it. It actually doesn't make any fucking sense. Anyway, like I said, this was hard. So this is why I relied on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, like I'm following along. I'm trying not to ask too many questions, but I was just like, hold on, wait. We're in 2012 and now we're in 2010.
Okay, so we're going back.
I get it.
We're going back. We're going back.
We're in a time machine.
This is just after she had disappeared.
Yeah.
So Josh returned to his home in Utah with his brother Michael to pack up the family's belongings, indicating that he was moving permanently to Washington to his father's home. This is the father who fucking stalked his wife. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So between 2010 and 2012, there was a series of developments in the case. I'm going to run through them in dot point style because my section is already so fucking long. So both Josh and Stephen Powell appeared on TV shows saying that Susan had abandoned her family because of mental illness, and they tried to claim her diaries from when she was a teenager to prove she was unstable.
No! Bitch,
please, teenagers, all of them, mentally unstable. Most of us grow up in it.
Nobody wants to read my diary from then. No.
I didn't have a diary.
You're in mine.
Sarah Smart. She's just like, don't leave any evidence. Right. So investigators' scrutiny extended to Stephen upon learning from a family friend that he'd been obsessed with his son's wife. Computer images seized from his home in 2010 turned up 4,500 images of Susan taken without her knowledge, including close-up specific parts of her body. He also had in his possession gross shit that was labeled with Susan's name and a date. Stuff like used Band-Aids and feminine products.
Ew.
Oh, God, I've drunk too much to hear that.
Oh, it gets way worse. Okay. So, P.S. Stephen Powell has an airtight alibi in all of this. Yeah, he was on the other side of the country, and there is evidence placing him there at certain times.
I don't believe it's him at all.
Okay,
no.
Yeah, it's not. Okay, we'll just put that aside. Okay, I'm not saying what's going on. There is no possible way that he could have gotten to Utah to kill Susan or even help dispose of her body.
He loved her. He wouldn't kill her.
We've all seen stalkers that kill. So
yeah, you know. Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so it was full on. The shit that they found in Stephen Powell's house.
He was a creep and a weirdo. Oh, I totally get it. I totally get that he was a creep and a weirdo. It was her husband. It was fucking Josh. It was Josh.
Okay. Right. So tensions between Susan's family and Josh's family rose, and it actually came to a point where they were openly, publicly hostile to each other. Susan's father filed for custody of Susan's sons because he became concerned about Josh. He was awarded temporary custody, and Josh was to have supervised visitation. After ongoing investigations of the Power family, it was discovered that computers in the home had some pretty disturbing images on them. Stephen was arrested on charges of voyeurism and child pornography.
Okay.
Killing Josh.
Weirdo. He still didn't kill Susan, but yes.
Full fucked. Anyway.
Yeah.
Josh had on his computer seized from the family home animated child porn and bestiality images on it. Continued to allow visitation because these pictures were animated and not real. At this point, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? The intent is there. The psychological intent is there. It doesn't matter what form those images come in, whether they are real or whether they are animated. It's not the fucking point. Why have you missed this point? I don't know. Anyway, that's me ranting. Josh was ordered to have a psychosexual evaluation and a polygraph test. I was thinking that polygraphs were not a thing and they couldn't be used in evidence. But I didn't look into it because my segment was already too long. So, yeah, Jeff Deskovic, if you're still listening to this podcast, you are our friend. Can you please shine some light? Text me, email me, whatever it is.
I thought you said it couldn't be used.
No, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, Yeah, Washington's a different area. So.
Yeah, but then, true, it's a different fucking state and they all act fucking different. Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway. Yep.
Oh, okay. I'm so deep in this. Okay.
Right. Okay. So this is where we have to strap in. We need to have a big fucking drink.
I feel like I'm an Ewok trying to see the snow over here. You'll find me in the walls soon.
Yep. Any minute now. Okay. As if all of this wasn't bad enough, it got worse. On the 5th of February 2012, a social worker, Elizabeth Griffin Hall, called 911 after taking the children to a supervised visit at Joshua's house. She was supposed to monitor the visit between Joshua and the boys. She reported that he grabbed them and then would not let her in the door. Soon after, the house exploded, killing Joshua and the two children.
Oh my God.
Okay, just hold it. So local authorities treated the case as a double murder-suicide, saying the act appeared to be deliberate. I need you to hold on because I won't get through this unless you two just calm, okay, because I'm not okay.
Yep, keep going.
Yeah. So when authorities notified Stephen, who was in jail, he didn't seem very upset by the news but was angry towards the authorities who notified him. Again, I'm not making any judgment. Mm-hmm. You say weird. I'm not making any judgment because grief takes all different forms and I don't think you should judge people. Anyway, he was still a creep and a weirdo. But anyway, okay. 2 weeks later, Stephen invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to answer questions regarding Susan's disappearance. After a relatively brief investigation, officials confirmed that the explosion had been deliberately planned. The official cause of death for Joshua and the two boys was determined to be carbon monoxide poisoning, though the coroner noted that both children had significant chop injuries to the head and neck. A hatchet was recovered near Joshua's body, and investigators believe that he attacked the boys with it before being overwhelmed by smoke and fumes. The fire investigation also found 2 5-gallon cans of gasoline on the premises, as well as evidence that the gasoline had been spread throughout the house. It was reported that the two children were found holding hands. When the police uncovered their remains. A year later, in 2013, Joshua's brother Michael committed suicide, leading people to believe that he had something to do with the disappearance of Susan, or at least knew what had happened to her and was overcome by guilt. In 2015, Susan's father won control over Susan's estate after Joshua's mother and one of his sisters tried to get Susan declared dead so that they could claim on her life insurance.
What?
Stephen Powell was released from prison on the 11th of July 2017 after serving a total of 7 years in prison following his voyeurism and child pornography convictions. He died of natural causes in Tacoma, Washington on the 23rd of July 2018 before police were able to question him about the location of Susan's remains. Susan remains a missing person, but given the fates of her sons, it is widely believed that she was murdered by her husband, Josh. If you want to watch a documentary on the case, I recommend the doco titled The Disappearance of Susan Cox Powell, which was released on the Oxygen Channel and can also be found on Nine Now for Australian listeners. Yeah. Mm. It's big.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The poor kids. It was definitely a fucking husband. As soon as you fucking started going, I was like, yeah, it's the husband.
Yeah.
I mean, the father-in-law was death's creepy, death's weird, but I didn't get the same vibe as Josh. Like,
so they released after a lot of this happened with the documentary and stuff like that, they released a lot of the footage that Stephen had of Susan and also of other people. It wasn't just Susan he was stalking. He was stalking other people.
I can imagine it'd be a lot of people. That's it. If he was in for voyeurism, I'm sure there was like, you know, upskirts and toilets all the rest of it. Like, absolutely, 100%, I know these people exist.
He was filming the neighbor children. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I imagine all of that doesn't make him a murderer. It makes him a bad person, but it doesn't make him a murderer. There's a big difference. Just because someone's got something wrong with their brain and that's what they're attracted to, and yes, it's wrong, doesn't make them a murderer. So
there's a lot more about what he had and what was going on with him and the level of infatuation that he had with Susan. And I recommend anybody who's interested in this, and look at the documentary, because it really fills in the gaps of what I've said. I've just really given a quick timeline of what happened. But if you're interested to see the level of deprivation that Stephen Powell had, go and look at the documentary.
So you're talking like Glenn Close, Bunny Boiling?
Way worse.
Ooh.
She was not filming kids. So
yeah, but the infatuation level.
It's fucked.
Yeah,
like it really. Yeah. It's really next level fucked. And then the situation with Josh and his murder suicide of his children, that really came as a massive shock to me. Listening to the 911 calls from the court appointed person who went there with the children is just absolutely fucking horrific. She's screaming down the phone that she thinks that the children's life is in danger because he basically got the children, like smiled at her, grabbed them and pushed her out the door. She could smell gas at that point. It took, I think, 20 something minutes for police to get there. It was too late. The house was on fire. She was screaming down the phone, screaming for help. And they're just like, oh, what's his name? What's the address again?
Oh,
like, it's bad. It's actually fucking infuriating. Listen to it, hear it, understand that these issues are really prevalent in our society, and it's just a bit crazy. So anyway, that's my case.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Gee, we had some fun tonight, people. Oh my god, I'm glad. Yeah, so glad this is the second one we recorded tonight, and I wasn't already drunk before we got here. Oh my god, holy shit, that's a lot to take in. Yeah, I will try to watch the documentary just because.
Told you this was big, and I needed to get it out. What were you expecting?
I know.
A lot of child murder lately.
So much.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Two cases in Australia?
Recently. What the fuck? Oh, my God. Yeah, I thought about going into that, like, but there's not enough on the cases yet. Yeah. And what happened is just not enough released because it's all still got to go to trial. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Too soon for me.
Oh, no. It's just not enough information.
So well. Yeah,
I would just like to say, no matter how many times I threaten my daughter or say I'm going to kill my daughter and shove her in a freezer, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah. Or that several children buried under your house that were your original children that you got sick of. Yeah, they're not there.
They're not actually there.
You can go looking for Juan, Julio and Ricardo, but, you know, they're not there.
Might find some of Sarah or her relatives, ex-partners under there, maybe.
Yeah, that's a big possibility. Yeah.
No children.
Don't harm children.
Yeah.
All right. So
unless they're dead, then they can fuck off.
Yeah. Don't. Exercise that shit. Fuck off.
Ghost children, people, not children's corpses.
Not actual children. Yeah. Don't exercise them. They hate that.
Yeah.
Yes, mine's allergic to exercise.
I have had so much fun researching this topic, or reliving this topic as I did. And as I have with the last couple of topics that we have done over the past few weeks / years, we're getting to the point where we're going into years.
We are into years now, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think we do need to reword it.
Yeah. It looks like a rewrite to our segment. Okay.
It does. Yeah.
However, we would like some topic suggestions from our listeners. You're listening. We know you are. We see it. We know you're there. So shout out to us. Tell us what you want to hear. We will talk about it. We're totally fine with whatever you want to throw at us, bar some exceptions that may be dictated by the law. Anyway, so If you want us to discuss a topic, please email us at fridaynightwinefight@gmail.com. You can hit us up at Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, or Instagram. To everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter fucking bullshit. Yeah. We hope you have found it entertaining and you're not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives.
Absolutely.
Unless it's in relation to the fuck into the fuck of getting out of your house when you see people clearly coming in but not coming out.
Get out. My God.
Turn it down. Why
is I think there's someone in the walls. Yeah, cool. Let's lock the house with everybody inside.
Burn it down.
Burn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I would do.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, unless it's in relation to finding people that are hiding in your walls or the purchase and use of a protection chainsaw, which we wholly, utterly endorse. Thank you so much for listening. Good night, y'all.